Let's bring Joel Ward aboard. Former NHLer, now part of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, alongside Akeem Alua, Evander Kane, Matt Dumba, Chris Stewart, Trevor Daly, and Wayne Simmonds. Joel, thanks so much for joining us. How are you today?
Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, we got you loud and clear. And we got this message as well, loud and clear, and the formation of the Diversity Alliance. First of all, you know, Stu was just talking about how it's rare that things come together as quickly as this did, and has. I wonder, from your point of view, and Akeem and Evander, Matt and Trevor, et cetera, was there one sort of moment that was the tipping point for all of this coming together?
You know, we've been talking for a few months now. You know, we've obviously, you know, hockey's been a very important in the conversations around race. And, you know, we've all seen and experienced racism, you know, from ourselves at some level of the game. And, you know, we just actually thought it was important now. Actually, everything that's going on right now, you know, it's time for us, I think, just to unite and try to obviously improve our game for future generations.
Stewie?
How's it going, Wardo? You're awake?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not. No, but I just thought I'd ask. I was doing a little bit of reading. Again, we've talked over the last couple weeks here, and you guys aren't directly partnered with the National Hockey League, but looking to possibly, you know, collaborate with them down the line. So, how would that collaboration be, and what would you know, the everyone be looking for, you know, from the National Hockey League?
Yeah, you know, obviously we definitely would love to work with the league. I think that'd be huge. You know, we've all been part of it. There's guys obviously still playing, and it's been a big thing for us. You know, obviously for us is just kind of promoting, just making sure the accountability, I think, is huge for us. You know, obviously inclusivity of the sport to the fans and to the diversity, and I think that we can bring that in the league office, which has been huge. You know, obviously we're also trying to promote as well, and trying to promote the diversity, of course, all across. You know, just speaking with the youth and just making the game more accessible, more affordable. And obviously, you know, we're going to need the help, hopefully, with the league to work on that and some, you know, to some ideas and some policies that we can kind of bring up. And, you know, and of course, and then we've always talked about acceptance. So we've got quite a few points just to bring across to them. Hopefully that we get a chance to work with them, as I said, and to have some more talks. Obviously, it's been at the beginning stages, but you know, we have a few more ideas that we want to bring up with the league, and hopefully they can hopefully we can all work together on this big thing. You know, the main thing for us is just trying to help to end this racism in the game of hockey. So we're all excited,
as are we. Berkey.
Joel, in your career, the league has made significant progress in this area already, but there's still work to be done. I'm with Stewie. Yeah. The cost issue, to me, is the biggest problem facing hockey. And when you start drawing that line, you obviously, the less income a group has, the more severe the problem is. And obviously that slashes into the African-Canadian community here in Ontario and all across Canada. How do we make this game more affordable?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways that we've kind of discussed briefly. You know, obviously I think including more ball hockey courts, I think just to get initial start into the game. Is one we kind of talked about briefly, and I think that's kind of a good stepping stone just to kind of bring everybody into the game more and just kind of introduce the game even at greater. I think just starting from there, from the grassroots of how we started as kids and the kind of snowball. So we've got over a few things, as I said, just initially just to jumpstart, and, you know, those ideas are in right now that we've kind of trying to find some more ways and ideas to obviously make the game affordable. We all know. We've all been through the struggle, of course, of affording for equipment and ice time and whatnot. And, you know, I think that's going to come, obviously, for some help from different areas. And, you know, as I said, we're in that mindset, in that process to come up with a few things.
And Joel, those are two huge ones you mentioned right there. First of all, ice time, as we all know, is so expensive. Stewie, as a coach, knows that. Stewie, as someone that trains kids, knows that all too well. And also equipment. And I'm hearing you speak, and I'm saying, you know, Stewie just mentioned you guys are, you know, going to be working with hopefully working with the National Hockey League on a lot of these endeavors. And I would imagine the corporate community would be someone that
100%.
You would look to reach out to. As I'm trying to figure, like, it's in my own mind, and you guys have thought about this a lot more than me, to try to bring down ice costs, to try to bring down equipment costs, to try to make it more affordable. Like, how many different tentacles sort of will you have out there, whether it's with the NHL, with corporate Canada and the United States, to try to help make all of these things more affordable?
And you hit it to a T. Obviously, those sponsorships are going to be huge moving forward. Obviously, just to help with some donations and just to kind of help with our foundation to relieve some of those costs. And that's going to be a huge thing for us, I think, moving forward. We all know of the rinks and the accessibility of obviously all the sticks and the equipment and everything. So we're definitely going to need some help for sure. Not giving away too much off the hop, but we got some ideas kind of that we've been kind of planting some seeds on a little bit. And, you know, hopefully those things can ideas can kind of come through and you know, we can kind of help resolve this problem a little bit more.
Stewie?
Okay, I'm going to go back to a question I asked you before. It's been a couple months now since you officially retired. Has any team reached out to you yet? And when can I expect to see you at least be an assistant GM in the National Hockey League?
I haven't had a. I've had a few. I haven't had to talk to a lot of people. I'm still here in the Bay in San Jose, so I've talked to Doug Wilson a couple times there. I've kind of had my put my resume together here, and actually I logged on to my coach's clinic there today. So I'm kind of just slowly.
They want a resume? Look at Game 7. Just look at Game 7 and just play that. And I put that on your resume. Game 7.
I might have to hire you as my PR guy then to push the name out there. So my resume is together. I'm going to hand them out here, and hopefully, you know, some teams may take a look at it and see what sticks. So I'm just excited for the opportunity in the future moving forward on that as well.
Berkey?
Joel, I didn't do a resume my whole career until I left the Flames, that I had to do a resume. I never went to a job interview with a resume. I don't think you're going to have trouble finding work, although it is a tough time to be looking for work right now. But yeah. The cost, the main change since I was a kid, and again, I grew up in Minneapolis, all the arenas were municipally owned. And so the ice times were controlled. Now we've seen in the last 30 years, private arenas, and the ice time costs have soared. What do we do about that?
That's a good question. And I think, again, that, obviously we're going to need helping hand in hand. I think a big part of it is obviously that whole sponsorship idea, but to eliminate and cut the cost of rinks is something that we definitely got to chat about and make this thing accessible and more affordable, for especially all these kids. And I know that's going to be an issue that's it's always been an issue actually since growing up, but I think a lot of it is just this registration cost. I think a lot of it is some of these, if hockey and organizations to kind of strip down some of these, eliminate some of these costs. I think that will definitely help for sure, and especially for a lot of kids playing, and for a lot of these kids, especially in the GTA, the Toronto area, to get access to be playing this game. So, it's going to start from a whole build up of hockey communities, and I think a lot of it too is obviously just stripping down some of this cost, and that's going to be a big part moving forward.
I will tell you guys how old I am. When I turned pro, I had to run an hour of ice in the spring of 1977 in my hometown. I was back there after the season, and it cost me $45.
Oh, Stewie? Stewie, calm down. Stewie, calm down.
That's how much it cost a minute in Toronto now. That's how much it cost a minute.
that's insane how that buildup has gone up. And I know that, when I was playing too, obviously there's certain rinks that were a little bit more affordable than other rinks when you're renting ice for the hour. But, that's something that we got to, make aware, of course. And that's something that we have to have a lot of chat with a lot of people in the hockey community. Obviously, ice time is a big issue.
You know, there was once upon a time a national program that was aimed at, building rinks as a way to, as a sort of a cultural move to help unite Canadians. That's why there's so many centennial arenas. The former Herb Carnegie was, formerly North York Centennial, et cetera, just here locally. You guys all know these stories. But we haven't seen anything like that. And to Berkey's point, the rise of the private arena dovetails with the soaring of ice costs. I'm curious how the group is going to work, because just internally, I think it's folly to suspect that everybody is always going to be on the same page about everything. Like, when there is an issue that this group is dealing with and debating, how do you handle How do you handle the issue of not everybody being on the exact same page or not everybody wanting to vote the same way on a particular issue?
Well, we're, you know, obviously depending on the issue, but we've had discussions of how we're going to go about it. And obviously we're in our own community. We're going to obviously have our votes. And we've been, the good thing for us is just communication. I think that's what we've been kind of, you know, harping on quite a bit, is just for us to kind of keep communicating day in, day out about anything that kind of pops up or any ideas or questions. And I think, you know, like any relationship, just communication is obviously key. So that's going to be a big step for us and a big positive, I think, moving in the right direction, and for us just to stay unified and knowing that this is for the greater cause of for many generations going down the road. And you know, obviously we just got to, you know, be stay positive throughout our process. So we've definitely got some work to do, which we're excited about, but also we know that if we are in this for the right reasons, and that's the main thing, and you know, we'll get positive results coming out of it.
Joel, I'm just curious, just from your position, you individually, you know, Joel Ward, and we all know the story of how you made it to the NHL and certainly what you did when you got there. When you look over the past couple of weeks, pro athletes, specifically NHLers now, are more comfortable than ever speaking out. There's no longer a stay in your lane mentality and don't be a distraction amongst NHLers. When you see Blake Wheeler and Tyler Seguin and Jonathan Toews speaking out against things like social injustice, what goes through your mind?
A lot of things, to be honest with you. I think, you know, I think it's great to see guys stepping up. 100%. I think that's great. You know, I think 3 years ago I had after Kaepernick and after seeing that, and you know, a lot of that's been an inspiration behind that, and some of the other athletes have been speaking up. But years ago, it wasn't really much movement. You know. You know, and I think I understood what he was doing. I think a lot of people didn't, and nobody really piped up. And now, 3 years later, you know, it's catching on now. I don't know if it's just because of the time or what have you. Obviously, there's been a death of George Floyd that really brought a spark to a lot of people. But it's great to see the hockey guys are stepping up. And I hope that the main thing for me is not just putting out statements, but actually, you know, are encouraged for the long term, long haul to actually make a difference. And they recognize that there is a problem, and now it's just time to try to solve that problem. So great to see, you know, Blake Wheeler, some of these guys put out some great messages. They felt heartfelt messages. I thought that was huge, especially for the hockey community as well, and just in society in general. Hopefully more guys he can kind of share his little knowledge of what he's kind of what he's learned and what he hasn't seen and what he's kind of going through and with his other teammates. And I think for us, just having talks, I think when I have an issue or something happened to me, I would try to bring it to the team. I think even at Kaepernick, when I was getting asked, you know, whether I was going to kneel or stand up or what was I going to do, I think everybody lost kind of what the purpose and what the whole story was of the protest. So I had a discussion with my team to kind of tell them that this is some of the stuff that us as Black and minorities in the game of hockey and in society, what we go through on a day to day. So, you know, it's very important to share those things. And I hope guys are more willing to learn and educate and learn from any other teammates, similar teammates that are going through certain incidents, that they can, you know, be there as an ally and want to see change. And that's what it's all about. We just want a safe place to come to the rink and on a day to day, just to live a normal life like everybody else has been doing. So, without feeling the fear of whether it's a police brutality or what have you. So we're looking just to come to the rink and not have any worries and make it a safe place for everybody else.
Stewie?
I know it's still early and the news just broke, but how has the feedback been from former teammates or people around the National Hockey League, and how can those that aren't in the actual alliance, how can they help with the program?
Yeah, the feedback has been great. You know, we have a few things we're obviously just going to try to raise some money, of course. You know, we're kind of starting a little foundation and where people can kind of help donate and what have you. But the feedback has been very positive so far. Hopefully it continues that way. I hope people do recognize that there is a problem, and then hopefully we get a chance to help fix this problem with some of the ideas that we've had. But overall, it's been a really positive feedback, actually, really overwhelming. A lot of nice comments and messages that people have been sending, and teammates and former teammates that that have reached out in a short period of time to really commend them what we're doing.
Berkey?
I think you'll find, Joel, the NHL will be a willing partner. And again, tough time to a very important undertaking that you're doing. Tough time to be asking for money, obviously, because there is a whole lot rolling around right now in the NHL. But I know they'll support this right from the get-go. I know you'll have an ally and a partner there. And the second you have details on where people can contribute, you get it to us and we'll broadcast it.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay, I appreciate that very much. Thank you. That was very nice.
And Joel, before we let you go, and we commend you on all of this, you and Akeem, Trevor Wayne, Chris Matina, and Evander, from our perch, you know, what can we do? What can I do? What can Berkey do? The lion's share, people listening to this broadcast right now are male, female, Caucasian. What can we do?
I think just for a lot of people, just to educate themselves, I think just take the initiative to watch a documentary, to read a book, to, you know, what have you. I go on YouTube. I think just a lot of it is, you know, with the racism that I mean, I've obviously dealt with it through my minor hockey growing up, playing the pro. And being a black player, we're dealing with hockey, it can be a lonely place at times. I think for myself is, you know, just when you're bringing up certain issues to certain guys, you know, there's a stigma of, hey, here he goes again, and there's this angry black guy, you know, and certain things. But it's hard to share some of your feelings. And some days it has been tough to come into the rink, and you got to put your smile face on because, you know, you kind of bottle some of these things up inside. So just educate yourself. You know, there's a lot of great documentaries. There's a lot of great stories. There's a lot of history that I think is told for blacks and other minorities that people can kind of, you know, take that upon themselves. I think I've had a lot of great reach out from a lot of friends, a lot of former players and teammates that I think, you know, of questioning of how to feel and what they should do. And I'm like, hey, just speak from the heart and truly what you feel. If you think that there's that you want to make a change, then obviously, you know, you got to put in the work and educate yourself. And I think that's the main thing. And, you know, I think just communicating, having a lot of communication with others and, you know, moving forward is going to be huge. And I'm going to try to obviously do my part. And, you know, I got one son and another one coming on the way any minute here. So, you know, playing minor hockey is something that I hope that they take into. So I just want to make sure it's a safe place for them down the road.